Memphis's original sports station. We are Sports 56, WHBQ Memphis and W253 DF Memphis.
Welcome back in to Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you as we start our 5 o'clock hour. And we're going to talk some college basketball here. There's a lot of scheduling news out there. We got, I think it was yesterday, it was released, the SEC-ACC Challenge that is going to take place next year. It's one of the fun events in the kind of early part of the season every year. Looking at it, John Rothstein putting it out last night. The matchups: Arkansas at North Carolina, Auburn at Clemson, Duke at Florida, Boston College at Georgia, Wake at LSU, Pitt at Missouri, Syracuse at Oklahoma, Ole Miss at Virginia Tech, South Carolina at North Carolina State, Florida State at Tennessee, Texas at Louisville, Alabama at Miami, Kentucky at Virginia, Georgia Tech at Mississippi State, Stanford at Texas A&M, and Vandy at Notre Dame.
So what was the big miss? What was the game we should have had?
I don't know. I mean, what stood out to you? What game's missing for you?
Will Wade at NC State.
No, see, I didn't even think about that. That would have been a good one. So yeah, Wake at LSU and South Carolina, NC State. Yeah, I would have liked that game. That would have been a fun game to have.
Arkansas and North Carolina, I think, have played a lot. Do you think having played 11 times is a lot?
In all of history?
Yeah.
No.
You don't?
Not at all.
Arkansas 3-8 all time against North Carolina, and they have played everywhere. Big national TV game right after the new year in the 78-79 season on NBC in Greensboro. The Alaskan Shootout.
Oh, I love it.
The Great Alaskan Shootout the next year. I think that was like a late Sunday night game. The famous game in Pine Bluff with Michael Jordan and Arkansas winning that game. What a fun day. NC Tournament Dallas, NC Tournament East Rutherford, NC semifinal, national semifinal game at the King Dome against in Seattle against North Carolina, in Raleigh in the tournament, in Jacksonville in the tournament, in Greenville, South Carolina in the tournament, in Portland in the Phil Knight Invitational, in the Bahamas against North Carolina a couple years ago. Never in Fayetteville, never in Chapel Hill until this year.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, that will be a lot of fun, and you know that will be a really good matchup. Obviously,
Arkansas booster buddies of mine begging to be on that trip.
No, absolutely, and it should be a fun game. You know, North Carolina obviously making the coaching change, Arkansas bringing in a lot of talented pieces. A lot of people thinking really positive things about them going into the season. So I think you know, just looking at this, that's one of the top matchups on this list. Now, a lot of other really great ones. Texas and Louisville is just an awesome matchup on paper. Same with Alabama.
Big man back for Texas.
That's right. No, I mean, that one's – and then everything
that – Okatitis.
Yeah, and then everything that former American player. And then everything that Louisville's added this offseason. I mean, that one really, you know, Fedori Abdunga, he was the big, you know, big man offseason get for them. You know, so that will be a great matchup next season. Bama and Miami sounds like it's going to be a really fun game.
Those games, December 2nd and 3rd, is that right?
Yeah, it's around there. I don't.
First, second, third, something like
that? Yeah, it's somewhere in early December.
So that'll be Louisville getting Texas after the Tigers have played them.
That's right. Yeah, we talked about it. You know, Memphis getting Louisville pretty early in the season, which I think is good. And then, yeah, you know, I don't know what the rest of their non-conference schedule looks like, but, you know, certainly a tough game there, and I'm sure some other tough games on that slate. But you know, I would say right now, just looking at it, those three of Arkansas, North Carolina. Well, I take that back. The top four games: Arkansas, North Carolina, Duke, Florida is going to be incredible.
Yeah,
and
that
then
could be the finals.
It definitely could. And then those last two games of Texas, Louisville, Bama, Miami. I mean, those are the four games that you know jump out at me right now. Of man, I can't wait to see those matchups.
And there's a couple that don't grab you.
Sure, you know, I mean...
FSU at UT.
Sure.
I'm sorry to John Goin, but Ole Miss at Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Bama at the U, wrong sport.
Mm-hmm. No, I love Bama.
Oh, do you?
That's one of the four ones I'm excited about. I mean, yeah, that's going to be a great game.
Throw the record books out for Stanford and A&M. Stanford's in the ACC. What are they doing playing in the ACC Challenge?
Yeah, I don't love that game. That was certainly one I could pass on. But yeah, this will be fun. It's always a great event. It's always a lot of fun to see these two sides.
2 years ago, all SEC.
It was, and that was when everyone kind of jumped on the, hey, this is going to be an unbelievable season for the SEC, and so we'll see if they can do that again this year and bounce back. But no, I'm really excited for that setup right now and those potential matchups. Those are going to be really good.
Kentucky at UVA?
Yeah, that one will be interesting. I mean, certainly will be an early litmus test for both those teams to kind of see where they're at.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know how much I love Virginia going forward. I like Kentucky. I think they're going to have a good team this season. So, we'll see how that game will.
And John Varley's properly the Pine Bluff game for Arkansas. The late great Charles Ballantyne from Newport, Arkansas, in our listening area with the winning one-hander at the baseline to beat Michael Jordan in North Carolina.
Yeah,
and that was a Sunday morning game, national TV. Arkansas played the night before on the road.
Oh wow!
Against SMU. Uh-huh. Might have even been at Reunion, but he was in Dallas, either Moody or Reunion, and had to turn and fly, not all night, but fly in the night to get to Pine Bluff and play Michael Jordan on Sunday.
Holy
and
beat cow. Him. That is
And Michael Jordan says, that's all you people in Arkansas ever want to talk about is that game.
For good reason. I mean,
because you're Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I would also be talking about it. If I beat Michael Jordan, I absolutely would be talking about it as much as possible. But no, some really good matchups moving this year for that. We also got Kansas's non-conference schedule earlier this week. An interesting non-conference slate for them. Some big-time matchups on here. Kentucky, that's part of the Champions Classic. We know they're in the players' era, so they'll see some really tough opponents in that. You've got Villanova on here, a home game against Villanova. You've got UConn on here in early December, and Ohio State as part of an event at Madison Square Garden. And then the big rivalry, which this one is interesting, against Missouri in Kansas City, Missouri, at the T-Mobile Center. So that will be a interesting matchup there, and a rivalry that has gotten a lot bigger over the last couple of years.
Well, they hate each other.
Of course.
And a lot of people hate Kansas in basketball. And one thing that I know our listeners aren't on all breaking news on KU, and most of our listeners don't like KU because of one night in 2008. But this is a brutal non-conference schedule for a team that doesn't have to play anything this tough, because their at-large status is not at all in jeopardy. Mm-mm. I like that somebody plays this kind of schedule.
Yeah. I do too. And we just mentioned that Kentucky's huge. Whoever they'll see now, their first game's against UNLV. I think they'll be fine in that game. But whoever they see in those next two games will be really, really tough. Missouri, UConn, Ohio State. I mean, those are some really, really tough matchups in there. That's five big time opponents just right there. So yeah, I mean, it's not going to be easy for them. Now they have some gimme games in there as well. But no, that's a that's a brutal non conference schedule.
Why? I know now. I was going, why Sunday, December 6th? Against Mizzou in Kansas City. I went to the Kansas City Chiefs schedule. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs play on Thursday night
that week
at the Rams. So
makes sense.
They knew what they were doing.
Hey, they always know.
Mizzou also gets that same kind of heat when they play Illinois in St. Louis.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. That is a
usually right before Christmas, like 22nd or 23rd.
That's right. That's a good point. And so, definitely interesting stuff there. And they're bringing in some big time freshmen for Kansas this year. Obviously, we know they're big time freshmen last year, getting ready for the NBA draft. We'll likely hear his name called in the top two picks, but certainly not going the easy route in terms of scheduling next season. The other thing that I know we wanted to talk about, College Basketball Report, who does a really, really nice job covering all things college basketball. They put out the top 60 returning players in college basketball for the upcoming season.
We're not going through them all, we promise.
I am not going to go through all of these 16 teams. We'd be here the rest of the show. But what kind of jumped out to you on this list of these top 60 guys?
First thing that grabbed me was P.J. Haggerty at 34. Mm-hmm, yeah. That low.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he would be higher than 34. I thought he'd be in a top 20. Billy Richmond at 39.
Mm-hmm.
That's about where I thought, maybe a little better than that, but
yeah.
not a whole lot. But the MOP of the Final Four, Elliott Cadeau, at 22.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are 21 players better than MOP.
Yeah, it's a really good question on all of those guys. I think, you know, more for Elliott Cadeau, I think they're probably looking more at his, career as a whole and, kind of saying that, hey, you had multiple guys on that team last year, a couple of them that will probably hear their names called in the top 15 of the NBA draft. So even though you were MOP, you had a lot of help around you. But I do think the P.J. Haggerty is interesting because, you know, I'm really curious what went into it. Is it fit? Is it what happened around him at Kansas State last
year? Ball handling?
Yeah, I mean, it's because I think you look at it and all season last year he was, you know, top three, top five leading scorer all year long. And so in the country. And so, you know, it is kind of makes you wonder, you know, why is he so low? I'm not saying he needs to be top five or top 10. You know, looking at this list of the top 10, probably even top 15, I don't think P.J. Haggerty is better than any of those guys. But, yeah, I think a little bit higher than number 34. I will go through the top five on this list, some big-time names. Number five, Alex Condon with Florida. Four, J.T. Toppin, who obviously had the ACL injury last year. Three, Tyler Tanner at Vanderbilt. Memphis will see him this season. Two, Thomas Hauk at Florida. And then number one, Jeremy Fears Jr. up at Michigan State. Jeremy Fears, one of, you know, most of these guys that I just named, you know, took a shot at the draft, at least went and got feedback, but returning to Michigan State for another season. He's big time. You know, there have been some questions, especially last season, about him and, you know, maybe tripping opposing players, maybe getting into a little bit of that. Momchilovich, who we've talked about a lot this week, now at Kentucky. He's number eight on this list, so right outside the top five, certainly a great player. Your guy Krivas at mm-hmm. Arizona, he's number nine. Ruben Chinyelu at 10. So some really nice names on this top 10. I mean, after all the talent that college basketball had last season, a lot of really talented players going to be back next season.
It may not be the depth and breadth of this year's draft, but this isn't bad.
Mm-mm. No, it's
and
great.
And getting better by more mm-hmm. college experience.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. You know,
instead of going and being a 11th man somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, you know, and look, I haven't looked at the class of 2027 super hard. I just take what a lot of other people say, and a lot of people say that it's not going to be a great class. It's certainly not going to compare to the class we're going to see here in a couple of weeks. But, you know, you talk about a lot of these guys. I don't know what any of these guys are going to be at the NBA level. You know, I think a couple of them, you know, could be lottery picks next year. There are others that I don't think will be around lottery next season, even though they put their name in the draft this year before ultimately taking it out. But it makes the college game a whole lot better to have this type of talent returning for another season. And I mean, you just look at all the SEC names in this top 60, and you know, it feels like you're going to have another, you know, maybe a better season in the SEC next year with a lot of these guys returning at different spots. It's not just one place. It's a handful of places in the SEC that have multiple guys in this top 60 list.
Josh Hubbard at Mississippi State, yeah. 33, one spot in front of Haggerty.
That's right. And, you know, Josh Hubbard has been the big story with Mississippi State of, you know, him continuing to return there and really that loyalty that he's shown to Mississippi State over the last couple of years. I think he's in for another big season. It's just can Mississippi State, you know, do they have the guys around him to, you know, have another season where they're back in the NCAA tournament and making a lot of noise, because you know, obviously they didn't have that last year. Can they get back to that point?
College basketball is in a great spot
yeah.
nationally.
Mm-hmm.
We know that. But the distance between the Tigers and a lot of these teams at the top nationally, it's getting more and more.
No, it definitely is. And, you know, that's the unfortunate side of college athletics right now is, you know, when you start talking money and different things like that, you know, there becomes a gap. And so I know we talked a lot earlier this week about what Ed Scott said about basketball and where the budget is now. And, you know, really, I mean, you know, almost doubling what the budget was last season, I think is great for Memphis and, you know, certainly puts them at the top of the conference and at the top of the mid-major group. And it's just, you know, can you use those to find the right pieces? I think it's less now when you're a place like Memphis, any of these mid-majors, of finding, trying to go get that big-time player to go out and try to find the right pieces to make the best team that you can possibly make to go out here and try to knock off some of these
teams.
All right,
Brian, for you, Tiger graduate, proud alum, proud Tiger family, love the university and the Tigers through and through and through. In 2028, if Coach Huff, he said he thought by 28 would be playing in a power conference. Mm-hmm. If that is in a refashioned ACC that may not have some of its more notable luminary names, may not have Duke, may not have UVA, with conference realignment, North Carolina, they're out, they take NC State with them. Duke goes maybe Big Ten, something like that. Virginia Tech goes with UVA. Do you still take the ACC?
Absolutely.
You sure do.
Absolutely.
Yes. You didn't think about it long.
No, well, I mean, because
it's that easy, yes.
But it is a weird scenario.
To heck with Tobacco Road, even
sure,
if it's not that.
But it's a weird question because there's so much unknown about the future of college athletics and kind of what are conferences even going to look like in, even in 2028.
How much will they matter?
Exactly. And so, you know, are you talking about, obviously we've always heard these last, you know, 5 or 6 years of, you know, the split of, instead of having these conferences, you'll have kind of an upper echelon and then the kind of lower level. And, you know, are you moving closer to that? If all of these teams move to different conferences, are you looking at what happened to the Pac-12 where it's completely disbanded and you're trying to just put together something that looks like a conference and it doesn't look anything like a power conference? But with everybody saying, hey, go to the Pac-12, even what it looks like today, because it's going to be better than the American, I would assume, with all the unknowns in the air, that even if teams are leaving the ACC, it would still probably look better than the American. So, yeah, and being closer to a lot of those schools, I think you absolutely take it.
I think the raising to 72 teams NC tournament was total ransom, kidnapper payment to Big Ten and SEC for more slots. Mm-hmm. Nobody thinks Binghamton Mm-mm. or other conferences are going to get those slots. That was don't go do your own thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know that you can constantly pay the ransom, though. Mm-hmm. Eventually it gets too costly. Mm-hmm. We will at some point in the 2030s, mm-hmm. you know, in the year 2035, mm-hmm. who knows, but I think in the 30s, we're going to get down to not super conference in college football, but the Jackie Sherrill plan. And I think he first threw out in those days, and that was late 80s, early 90s mm-hmm. stuff. It was even before he became head coach at Mississippi State,
yeah,
that he thought it would get down to about 80. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll ever be 80. I don't think it'll be as low as 60 mm-hmm. and not higher than 70.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of unknowns, and it's in a weird place, and, you know, even it's kind of crazy because, like you mentioned, you know, you're hearing a lot of people within the athletic department at Memphis kind of use that 2028 year as that's a big year for the university of, you know, either some sort of news or already going, or, you know, something could possibly happen in 2028, and you look up, that's only 2 years from now. But it's just mind-blowing of where college athletics could be in 2028.
As I said on the day that story broke about Coach Huff, and I think that's aspirational and positive, and that cost as much as being negative and down in the dump. So I don't mind him being that. But I also think he believes that it's realistic, mm-hmm. and he's got to believe that. I want him to believe that. I want it for that university and for that football and basketball programs and all the sports. Mm-hmm. But I said that day, 2028, that means you got this year mm-hmm. And next year, on the field of play at SBLS, and then it's bigger time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it'll be here before we know it. And so that's
quick.
Yeah. I mean, it's high, but, you know, it's not just him that is saying
that. That means a max of about 14 home games left kind of out there in the college football ether.
That's right. Yeah. No, I mean, you're 2 years feels like a long time with some things, but when it comes to
quick
to sports and especially college football, yeah, I mean, that will be here before we know it. And so, you know, we'll see. I mean, you're right. It is very high aspirations, and I think
opening day 2028 in one of the power conferences.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that would be – and, you know – does that mean that in 2028 they're playing football in a new conference, or does that mean in 2028
it's
there's news of they're going to be moving? I have no idea which way when they say that's going.
We've got two gigantic parties ahead of us sports wise in Memphis.
Okay.
The day the lease gets signed.
Yep.
Let me change my voice. The day we sign the lease, we have a big party.
Yep.
And the day it's announced the Tigers are in a power conference.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's huge. And, you know, those are two big things, and I hope both of them get done. You know, obviously, things have to happen. I know everyone that has said that is certainly from the Tiger perspective is, look, you got to win games. We got to continue to improve on what we're doing already. But, you know, they are certainly trying to, you know, put themselves in the best spot to try to.
On the lease front, I still firmly believe it's going to be signed. It might be slower than I ever dreamed. It might not be even in this calendar year 26. Mm-hmm. And I one time I thought that was no way that would occur. It's interesting. I'll talk to people that's more the city side, city hall, the mayor's side. It's all the Grizzlies' fault.
Mm.
Talk to the Grizzlies. Oh, it's all the mayor's fault. It's all the mayor's office and city council and the city's fault.
Mm-hmm.
The money's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, how they want to, I think, repurpose Bill Street and the area around the arena is the final snag.
Sure. Yeah. No, I think you're right. And, you know, that's negotiation. Any negotiation anywhere, it's always the other side that's holding it up. So, you know, that doesn't surprise me at all. And
I think the push and pull is kind of a gentrified Disney type Bill Street. I don't know that I want that. I like Bill. Yeah. I want Bill Street to be Bill Street.
No, I definitely do. And so, yeah, you know, it's just trying to figure out. And obviously, we've talked so much about, you know, the other you know, places around the country. You know, what they have down in Atlanta, what they have in, you know, in Dallas and in St. Louis, and all of these.
The battery in Atlanta has caused them all.
No, it has.
It was not Ballpark Village.
No,
it was
no.
the battery in Atlanta for the Braves.
No, it absolutely is. And you're seeing people, you know, take that model. And, you know, want to do it with every sport and in every city.
Rangers did it with Texas Live.
They absolutely did.
Mavericks and Stars are getting ready to do it in Dallas. The Spurs are going to do it back downtown, more around the Alamo Dome and in that World's Fair area.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, you're seeing a lot of places want to go more of that route. And so, you know, it's just trying to figure out how do you make it look on Beale Street? You know, what are you trying to do? What is the objective on both sides? And
it's going to get done.
Yeah, I absolutely think before the season starts, we'll have news. And I know we've talked to other people that feel that exact same way. So I think, you know, get through the draft and, you know, get maybe close to the season. I think we'll have an announcement.
The Jaw deal.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it sounds like that will happen in the next month or so. And we'll just see what that looks like and what they'll be getting back for Ja Morant. Because, you know,
you didn't have the Giants today minus 15 and a half, did you?
I didn't have the Giants.
It'd be a sad story.
I don't think
It'd be really sad if you laid 15 and a half in a baseball game and lost by half run.
The Giants are honestly one of the hardest teams to watch in Major League Baseball for me.
It's hard for Vitello. It's driving him crazy.
They're not good. I don't know what they've been doing this week. I don't know what got into their system. So, yeah, I stay away from the Giants most of the
time.
They
win 18-3.
How about that? Good for them. How about that? Let's get a round of applause for the Giants. USC got it done against North Carolina, so an upset win in Chapel Hill, and now we'll see Troy up 6-2. We'll see if Little Rock has a little bit of a comeback. And they got the bats working all throughout the season. Their bats have been hot, so maybe they get some hits along the way. Still very early, bottom of the fourth, and we'll have Ole Miss and Auburn. That'll be a little bit later tonight. 7 o'clock, first pitch.
Weather looks clear.
That's right, and that's
Auburn had all... They had Noah's Ark weather last weekend.
No, they were the focal point of the rain delays last week in the regional. So, doesn't look like we'll have that problem this year.
The rare 10:05 first pitch, one
that's
game.
Right. That's exactly right. Yeah, that was one of the games night. They had to get in there, and they played it. But you know, it doesn't look like we have that issue this weekend, so we'll have that starting at 6:30 with the pregame show. Well, before we get to another break, let me remind you that this first hour is brought to you each and every afternoon by Dobbs Brothers Chevrolet. We appreciate them being a part of our show each and every afternoon. And that new dealership out in Bartlett, it is beautiful. Make sure you go out there and check it out, because the Dobbs family, an old established name, is back in the car business in Memphis. Their new location, Dobbs Brothers Chevrolet, is located at 7850 Highway 64 in Bartlett, offering a full selection of new Chevrolets and quality used cars to meet every need and budget. Head out there today and check out those beautiful new vehicles, like the 2026 Chevy Silverado 1500 with its Turbo Max engine, off-road capability, and advanced technology on the interior. If you stop by today, you can get 2.9% APR for 72 months. While you're out there, check out those other models, like the 2026 Chevy Traverse with a 328 horsepower 2.5-liter turbo engine and a massive 17.7-inch touchscreen, or the 2026 Chevy Equinox, a redesigned rugged meets modern style vehicle with a 1.5-liter turbocharged four-cylinder gas engine. And Dobbs Brothers Chevrolet, it's fully transparent pricing, no hidden fees, no games, and they cover all your needs with their service department. Dobbs Brothers Chevrolet welcomes you to a new way of providing excellent customer service. Their great team is ready to put you in your next perfect vehicle at the perfect rates. Head out today, Dobbs Brothers Chevrolet in Bartlett, 7850 Highway 64, open Monday through Saturday, 8:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. You can go online, check out their vehicles at DobbsBrothersChevy.com, but head out there today, test drive those vehicles in Bartlett at Dobbs Brothers Chevrolet. Well, let's get to another break, and when we return, we'll talk about what's trending.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11, here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Dobbs Brothers Chevrolet at 7450 Highway 64 in Bartlett. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back in Sports Time. Brian Brett with you, as we've got about 30 minutes left in today's show. We got to talk about what's trending, and obviously we talked about it earlier, but what's trending today is game two of the NBA Finals later tonight on ABC. We know what happened in game one. We talked a ton about it tonight. Can the Spurs bounce back, or will the Knicks take full advantage of this series? But I love what you said, and you've been saying it since that first game, of how, you know, this is the perfect opportunity for the Knicks. They can't just go out here and say, hey, we're happy we won game one, let's just, you know, get back home to New York City. No, this is an opportunity for them to go out there, really make a statement by winning both games on the road, and you know they'll have confidence after being able to do it in game one. So what do you think happens later tonight?
I think it's going to be a lot closer than that point spread.
Yeah.
When have the Knicks been and lost a game since April 23rd? When's the last time they lost by 7 or 8? I guess it might have been one of those games to Atlanta. I don't have the composite box score in front of me, but I said way back in my top story, if – it's going to be at a fever pitch Monday night in New York. Mm-hmm. Maybe, unlike, I'm not big on latest and the greatest in the heat of the moment, but Monday night in New York could be unlike anything we've ever seen before. And I'm not talking about just the president being there. I'm talking about that setting with this in front of them. That's just if it's 1-1.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
I said, top story, if it's 2-0, I don't know, you know, the Yankee stuff. We had Brian Geltzeiler a week ago tell us that in the heat of the moment, very much latest, greatest, the Knicks ball hotter than even the Yankees. And he said much more so than Giants or Jets or Rangers. Mm-hmm. I think we'll really see it if it's 2-0. If it's 1-1, it's still going to be epic and electric. Mm-hmm. But if it's 2-0, Monday night they'll be thinking win game three and you get the brooms out that following Wednesday, and then it is really on.
Yeah, no, that is that would be insane if they go up 2-0 and then go back home. If they can win another one at home, the New York City would. I mean, it would just be a complete madhouse at that point. But you know, we'll see.
Well, it's a madhouse on a slow Tuesday in September.
That is very true. So it'll be whatever you want to say is 10 times worse than what it is right now.
And I go back to my big number of the Knicks, even in 73. They lost game one and then won game two. Yeah, that's right. That's what I said earlier. And in 70, they split 1-2. They've never been up 2-0.
No.
And a storied franchise like that, anytime somebody's got that much history that can do something for the first time, that's how big tonight is.
Yeah, no, it's huge. And so obviously a lot of talk about the Spurs, how they bounce back. We've seen throughout the playoffs and really, you know, throughout the year when Victor Wembanyama kind of struggles, when the team struggles as a whole, they usually do a really nice job of bouncing back and you know, playing a whole lot better in that next game. But I think there are going to continue to be a lot of eyes on this matchup between Victor Wembanyama and Cat. Cat was...
That's the big question right there, though. I'm sorry. That's the big question. And Landon, can Cat do enough to back Brian off of him and him?
There's absolutely nothing he can do.
I didn't even get the opening bit out of it.
He show you down.
Here's my thing, though. And I did it after game one. I can talk well about Cat. I can say he did a good job. He played well. All that stuff. You're never going to get me to like him. It will never happen. I hate Cat. I can't stand
him. Can't win enough.
Can't stand him. I can't stand his personality. I can't stand him as a basketball player. And it really, a lot of it goes back to Minnesota. I think he has changed and has grown up, but I just
That personality, I will definitely yield. It's flaky, isn't it?
I don't know if flaky is the right word for it, but it's very, Gen Z? Is that Gen is the younger generation? You know, he's very much kind of a social media kid, if you will.
He's squaring off with the next big thing.
Yeah, no, and I think that's going to be the big question. You know, a lot of people have questioned his defense in the past, and he did a great job in game one. I think it's, can he continue doing that? Will he be able to night in, night out? Because, you know, as much as we want to, you know, talk about how crazy it would be if it's a sweep, I don't think there's any way this series is a sweep. So you're talking 5, 6, 7 games of him going against Victor Wembanyama. Will he be able to step up every single night and come up with stops? And I just don't know if I trust him to do that.
Any chance that we could be looking up when this is all over with, week 8, 9, 10 days, and we feel foolish, plumb foolish about this Nick euphoria. Any way this could be like Iverson in 01, goes to L.A., beats Kobe and the Lakers, Sixers with Hubie Brown, with Larry Brown, up 1-0. And then 4-1.
Oh yeah,
slamming.
It definitely could be.
You think it's possible?
The Spurs are by far the better team.
Won't we feel foolish, kind of the Knick lovers that we've been.
You're the big Knicks fan here. You tell me. I can't answer that question. I mean, I
was a Knicks fan.
I don't like
50
the
years ago.
I don't particularly like this team. So I'd love to see it 4-1. You know, which I don't know why I say I don't like this team. I like Jalen Brunson. I like Josh Hart. I'm fine with Bridges. I mean, I Shamit's fine. Like, I don't know why I don't. I love Mitchell Robinson. I don't know why I don't. I think it's just because Cat's on the team.
It's Cat.
I think it's all about Cat.
It's no doubt, and I don't think that's happening. San Antonio may come back and win this series, but I don't think it's going to be 4-1.
No, I think we're going to get 6 or 7 games.
I don't think they're 0-1 Lakers.
No,
somebody tell me who Shaq and Kobe.
Yeah, no kidding.
For San Antonio, who they are.
Yeah.
And I think the Knicks have more than just Allen Iverson.
Yeah, no, I think these are two really good teams, and I think that we're going to get a really good series. I expect either 6 or 7 games, and that would be madness if we get a closeout opportunity in Game 6 for the Knicks, or if we're back in San Antonio for Game 7 with a closeout opportunity, obviously in Game 7. It would be really fun. It was fun in San Antonio for Game 1, and I'll be curious. We talked about a little bit of how many Knicks fans were in the building for Game 1. How many Knicks fans are in the building for Game 2? Were there some people that were kind of on the edge, and then they saw him win Game 1 and said, hey, we know we can't get a ticket in New York, sure, and now Friday night, let's hop on a plane, get down to San Antonio, and watch Game 2. So I'll be really curious about that as well.
And I talked about the economics of the day, and I do not want to sound insensitive. It's a pretty good reflection of where we sadly kind of are societally, economically. There's that class that can do anything,
sure,
and there's not a lot in between the people that are struggling with $4 gasoline.
That's right.
I mean, it's a big gulf.
No, it is. I mean, I don't know who's
can
who's
you imagine paying for those tickets? The Knicks fan that's been there since Wednesday. What do they do for a living, and how can you do that? Well,
that's right.
It's out there.
I guess whatever they're doing, it's good for them.
It's some really – I don't really like this word. I don't like it to be this declarative, but it's some stupid money out there.
No, it is. It is. No question about it.
And it's some people sadly hurting.
Yeah, and so I don't know where they got all this money,
share.
Like, yeah, I would love to know where you got it from, because I would love it as well, because these prices are just – outrageous, especially those games in New York. It'll be fun
once
we get back to New York and see that scene at Madison Square
Garden. One other thing on this series. Through the years of the SEC West, I think, especially at bowl time, we came together. All for one, one for all, sure. Especially in the West. Maybe more so than the East, and more so of West far the East. Do you sense any West pride among Grizzlies fans? Oh yeah, go Spurs. You're getting it with a whole new cast of character. Anybody but Golden State. We're far the West. Do you get that at all?
It's weird because I really don't know what I get.
I don't get any.
I know some people that really love watching Victor Wembanyama, and so they're rooting for the Spurs. But I don't see any of just because it's a different team. I saw that in the last round against Oklahoma City. I mean, it felt like everybody in Memphis was anti OKC. Waving the flag.
I've gotten there. And this is kind of a bad reflection maybe of me and I think of sports fans. If I can't have it, I'm not for you.
Yeah.
And if it's not the Grizzlies, what I need to pull for more Spurs lore?
Yeah, I haven't gotten much of that, and I think it's just because people are not thinking of the future and just living in the here and now and saying, oh, well, cool for this young Spurs team to be there. But I haven't really gotten much of the, oh, here we go again. The Spurs are back to starting their dynasty.
And I was very much for Cam Newton and Auburn in that national championship game against Oregon. And a good SEC West friend of mine, I'll leave the school, at, was not Ole Miss and it was not Arkansas. I'm narrowing it down. And it was not Alabama.
Okay.
Not much left. he said, why are you for that? What does Auburn and Cam winning one? What does that do for the rest of us in the West?
Right. Yeah. Well,
I said, well, what does Oregon do?
That's very true, and I guess that goes back to kind of what you said of if it can't be us, then I don't want anybody in the SEC to have success.
So. And those battle lines are starting to get more defined in the SEC. But I'm there now.
Sure.
I don't have any loyalty to OKC or the Spurs.
No, yeah. So I think that will certainly.
I think
grow.
I was for Indiana last year.
Sure. Yeah. I think it will certainly grow with the Spurs because I don't think they're going to be going anywhere as long as they've got Victor and these other young guys. So I think that's going to grow. I just haven't seen it as much right now with kind of with the Spurs. I certainly with OKC. I mean, again, like, whenever I was talking to anybody that last series or out and about, I mean, it was like the line had been drawn in the sand with the city of Memphis of we are not rooting for OKC. And I got that a lot. So I saw it then. I haven't seen now. Maybe I haven't talked to enough people because the series just started, but I haven't felt that as much.
I was for Denver because my ABA pass mm-hmm. with Memphis, I was for Denver, and they never won an NBA title. I got over Golden State quickly. Mm-hmm. They became the evil empire.
Yeah.
Last year, I know I was for Indiana, and Indiana was up 1-0 last year.
No, they definitely were. And so we'll see what ultimately happens here in the Game 2 later tonight. Last thing, obviously, the other kind of big story since Game 1 was Dylan Harper. Really strong start for him in the first quarter, 10 points. Finished with 16, a lot of people pointing to the lack of playing time down the stretch. Do you think we see more Dylan Harper? How do you think they use the lineup tonight?
I think you'll have to see him, especially if he is being productive like he was mm-hmm. in game one, especially early. I had that big number the other day about the 10 points, the most ever by mm-hmm. a rookie in his first NBA finals in that first quarter, but also because I think Darren Fox is more injured than we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we know he's injured, mm-hmm. but I think it's more severe than we know.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting because, again, it's the whole thing about you've got this veteran, you've got kind of that guy that can maybe be the calming presence out on the court, but, you know, you also saw that spark that Dylan Harper brought off the bench in game one. That doesn't mean he's going to do it again tonight. You know, at that being that young, it is really hard to do that night in, night out. But we will see a lot of storylines going into tonight's game. Again, San Antonio, 6.5-point favorite, that total, 216.5.
Here we are on the one-yard line of the weekend, and all weekend long, you're going to be thinking about where to go for breakfast, lunch, for dinner. Started at Jason's Deli with any of these great locations like on Ridgeway across from MUS in Park Place, by the University of Memphis at Poplar and Highland, and down in Olive Branch and out in Cordova. There's a location near you anywhere in our area. Wholesome food forever. It's a family thing at Jason's Deli, whether you're dining it in, getting it to go, having it delivered, or having a group over catering anytime, anywhere, no order too large, 5,000. They'll even go higher than 5,000. They'll take care of you at all these locations. And if you want to order off the menu or have something off the menu that you want catered, they'll take care of that. And then off that menu, like the Mesa chicken salad, the chicken club salad, the taco salad, my favorite, and that salad bar in every location with over 30 items to choose from for you to prepare it however you'd like. Plenty of organic food to choose from. Healthy, first franchise in the nation to be trans fat free. And it's all about choice at Jason's Deli. And they want you to have a great weekend and look forward to so many people that they see for lunch on Sunday, not Christmas, on Sunday after church. They love that and we love that. Catering anytime, anywhere. You'll be delighted at Jason's Deli. Healthy, first franchise in the nation to be trans fat free, gluten free menu as well. And always you can check them out online at jasonsdeli.com.
Well, let's get to our final break of the day. When we return, we'll wrap up today's show with Moe's Crunch Time.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now, back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Dobbs Brothers Chevrolet, 7450 Highway 64 in Bartlett. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
This is pretty cool, and we're just getting started.
Spanning the globe.
Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
This game has always been called the world's greatest cocktail party. Do you know what is going to happen here tonight?
This is Geraldo. It is crunch time.
You are looking live. In your life have you seen anything like that?
Crunch time between the hedges.
The ball game is over, and Memphis has its first win in 16 tries. Its first win ever against its fierce in-state rival, Tennessee.
Obviously crushed.
Hammer, nail, coffin, this baby is over.
Crunch Time is brought to you by Moe's Southwest Grill. Need a crunchy bite to eat? Head to Moe's for nachos, crunch wraps, tacos, salads, and more. Moe's.com is your go-to for all your taco crunch time emergencies. Well, what I learned today is it's another day, another mock draft out there. CBS Sports put up an NBA mock draft earlier this afternoon. Isaac Trotter was the author of this mock draft, and he has it the way, it's only the first round, but he has it the way a lot of people have it for the Grizzlies. At number 3, Cam Boozer. Then at number 16, they have the Grizzlies taking Christian Anderson, the guard from Texas Tech, who I'm getting more and more sold on as we get closer to the game. This is a guy that was a 41.5% three-point shooter last season, averaged 18.5 points per game, 7.4 assists per game. We talked with Nathan Grubel, I think it was last week when he joined us, and he was saying that Christian Anderson works extremely well in the pick-and-roll game, and we know that that's what Memphis wants to do with Big Zach Edey out there. If you have Cam Boozer out there, the two-man game that they could play is really, really fascinating. So I would love that first round for the Grizzlies. Now, the question is, do they even pick at 16? We know there could be a lot of movement with that pick and the second-round pick, but as we get closer and closer, now only a couple weeks away, we're going to get even more mock drafts.
Brian, I'll bet you there's a scouting site out there that they have his three-point percentage from the pro line.
Yeah, oh yeah, sure.
You're at round 41. Yeah. That was the college line. We know he's got to back up a little bit, but I think good shooters can always adjust. What I learned first weekend of June in the National League Central, still all above 500. Milwaukee 6 clear of Pittsburgh, 5 clear of St. Louis in the all-important loss column. Can any of these other teams other than Milwaukee even make it to October baseball or do any real damage? They're all just good, and they're going to kind of beat up on each other and watch each other toggle up and down in the standings while Pat Murphy and Milwaukee keep doing what they do.
That's right, and that is the unfortunate thing about the division being where it's at. It's nice to see everybody over 500, but you know, all those teams got to play each other a lot, and it's just going to be...
No 500 banner,
no,
is it?
No, certainly not. Certainly
not even
not.
We would wave a 500 banner?
I don't think so. No. I think I draw the line before
We've
the 500
scruples.
Banner. We do, but I don't know.
We still have awards.
On a late Friday afternoon, our scruples do wane a little bit
for sure. What I could have done without, this one isn't fun to read. The NCAA infractions putting out sports betting integrity violations involving 4 men's basketball student athletes occurred at Alabama State. 2 of them from Memphis, Amar Knox, who played at Bartlett High School, and TJ Madlock, the son of Tony Madlock, were 2 of the 4 individuals involved in this. This goes back to October 2025, when a player, one of the 4, put them in a group chat with a bettor. Then they got on a FaceTime the morning of the game and agreed to throw a game against Southern Miss. TJ Madlock did not play in that game. He was out, informed them that he would not be playing, but from what I can read from this, sounds like the other 3 were on the court and they all agreed to throw that game. There was another game as well that had some stuff surrounding it, but definitely not good and definitely not fun to see a couple guys, local guys, involved in it.
Man, I said it earlier, we were talking about the easiest thing in society now. Well, everybody's doing it. Mm-hmm. Well, they might be, but it still reads
it's not good.
Horribly.
Yeah,
it reads really bad. I could have done without Aaron Judge out, and I think we'll miss even more time than the Yankees that they fear. The rib fracture, 3-time AL MVP. It could be late August, early September before he returns. And the slash line this year has not been great for him, but it's going to kill the back of the baseball card for him.
Yeah, quickly, where are you beaming tonight?
I'm beaming to San Antonio, game 2, before it really gets nuts on Monday.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight with game 2. A whole lot of baseball this week and super regional action as well. And again, a reminder, tonight we will have Ole Miss and Auburn in about 30 minutes, 6:30 pregame for that 7 o'clock first pitch. But that's all the time we have. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you again Monday afternoon.